Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward, and today I have the opportunity of having Haley Friedman on the show. Haley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
I'm excited. So Haley's the head of marketing over at Improvado.io. She's also the co-founder of Growth Marketing Pro, where she's helped literally hundreds of companies grow their bottom line through digital marketing. It's one of the main reasons we wanted to have her on today is we want to talk to you a lot about really growing your audience. In addition to that, we're going to talk about some of the metrics and things, which she's loves to geek out on. So in addition to that, she also serves as the president of Badass Marketers and Founders, and which right now, I think you said there's over like 20,000 members. Is that right?
Yeah, there's 20,000 members globally.
Crazy. And I think you're running the primary group up in the Silicon Valley area.
Yep. I'm the president of the San Francisco chapter.
Awesome. Well, I want to kind of dive right into this. And one of the things you and I were talking about just briefly here was this whole idea as far as how to get customers. I think that's the biggest struggle most people have is they get this wonderful idea and they're trying to find a way of getting that out to the market. So what are some of the things that you've seen? I know you spent a lot of time looking at different platforms and technology, and it's not as much about the tech as it is about some of the other stuff. So how do you actually help people get customers?
Yeah, I mean, this is a challenge that I personally face myself. I was a founder a bunch of years back, tried to start something on my own, and the biggest lesson that I took away from it was, you know, you can have an incredible team and you can have an amazing product, but if you don't know how to get customers, then you don't have anything worth very much at all. So that's kind of what set me off on this journey to figure out, like, how do you get Joe Schmo to buy something? And this was this like big gray box that I really did not understand. And I wanted to unwrap how this works. And so I moved across country from New York to San Francisco. I joined a startup at the ground floor, and I just became a sponge. And I just learned everything that I possibly could about marketing. I read blogs, I went to conferences, I met experts. And then I implemented them not only at my job, but for my friends, my family, like anyone who would let me. And I really kind of got my feet wet figuring this stuff out. And so there's really nothing better than trial and error. You learn a lot, but at this point I've probably done it like so many times that I've gathered this book of knowledge in my brain about what actually works and what doesn't work. And you know, it really depends on what the part of it that I think is so fun is that it's different for every business. Like every business has different customers. You have different goals. You have different marketing budget and resources and timeline that you need to hit those goals. And so like all those things need to be considered when you're figuring out what is the lowest hanging fruit thing I can do to get customers. And so it's hard to give a blanket statement, which is why through Growth Marketing Pro, we're often helping founders one-off, like marketers and founders that need one-off help, we'll customize like a plan for them. But overall, I like to think of it like this. Where is the highest intent customers? Like where are your highest intent customers? So for example, referral programs always have the highest intent because people who are visiting your website that were referred by a friend, they were already sold and educated by their close friend or family, and now they're visiting your site and they're going to convert at like 25%, whereas the average traffic on your website is going to convert at like 1%. So if you already have customers, start a referral program. That's how you'll get like the highest intent people to your website.
I hear a ton about different types of referral programs. What are some of the things in referral programs you've seen that really work well?
Yeah, so surprisingly, people are not as motivated to refer friends when you pay them as much as they are to offer something of value to their friend. So people when they're socially interacting with friends, they want to kind of be able to gift them something. So if you can create that vibe, then your referral program will likely perform better.
Okay. I've seen that even like on Dish Network, some of the satellite things where they get a discount and you get a discount at the same time by offering a coupon code like that.
Yeah, definitely. And that works better than just having you get a discount and nothing for your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think referral programs can be really difficult to track if you are going to implement one. I recommend using a tool. I've used Ambassador in the past. There's a lot of different tools you could use, but definitely it can get really hairy if you don't get super organized with your tracking links and things. So tracking can become a nightmare. But along the same lines of high intent channels, I think like affiliate programs, which you can get like bloggers and influencers mentioning your product and sending traffic, that's also a great way to get like really trustworthy people doing the selling for you kind of thing. So those are high intent. And then, you know, if you're looking at paid channels, if you have a budget and you're trying to figure out, you know, do I spend money on Google Ads or do I spend money on Facebook or whatever? Again, like think about intent. You know, someone who is searching a specific keyword that's related to your business has far higher intent than someone who's just browsing through Facebook looking at their friends' photos, right? So while Facebook is an awesome channel for a lot of things, I would, if there is search volume related to your product, then I would always recommend starting where the intent is highest, which would be on Google Ads.
So I know I talked to a lot of people about this, and Google Ads seem to be the holy grail, but at the same time, it's one of the most confusing things for most marketers. Everyone seems to kind of, first of all, go to Facebook. It's easier to work with and things. As you've worked inside of the Google Ad Network and the platform, what are some of the things that you've seen that work really well? For a person who's just trying to kind of get their feet wet with Google, where would you tell them that they should start?
Yeah, always start with like your branded keywords. If someone literally searches for the name of your brand, you want to be there. And then your competitors' keywords, so the names of your competitors, you want to be there too. That's, again, highest intent, lowest hanging fruit. Those people are already well-educated either about the name of your business or the name of your competitors, and so that's, like, always the best place to start. And from there, it's really just, like, careful testing. But, again, thinking about intent when you're thinking about keywords, like, which of these keywords, long-tail keywords, are going to be customers who have already thought pretty deeply about this. And if you are going to go higher funnel, like more broad keywords, then you're likely going to want to serve content that's going to act as a funnel. Yeah, down to your like purchase.
So speaking of funnels, I know you're in the process of creating your first click funnels here and reading Expert Secrets. When you start thinking about a funnel, especially you just made the mention as far as, you know, top of the funnel, high end funnel, explain to people exactly what that means.
Yeah. So I think people are at different stages of their purchase journey. And when I think about the top of the funnel, I think about the beginning of that journey. Maybe someone doesn't know that they need your product. And so at the top of the funnel, people are doing their like initial research. And if you can create content that captures them at that stage, and then you can become the teacher, the person who's like being the educator, you can kind of like walk them down the funnel down to your purchase product. So basically people that are high in the funnel may not be super high intent quite yet. And as they get lower into the funnel, their intent becomes higher and higher, and you can serve them different types of content. So as they're deeper in the funnel, it becomes maybe not as much educational content, not as broad educational content, but it gets more narrow into your product. So you can serve them content that maybe shows a product walkthrough of your product or testimonials of people who purchased your product. And so there's kind of this sequential messaging that happens as someone goes from like top of funnel to bottom of funnel.
I love it. I literally had this conversation with my son earlier this morning. He's doing some affiliate marketing for me inside of ClickFunnels. And I was sitting there talking. I was sitting there talking to him about it, and he's like, yeah, it's really hard to get someone just to take a free trial of ClickFunnels. I'm like, yeah, you're right, especially if they don't even know what a funnel is. I said, we're in the process right now of creating this whole idea as far as the death of the website and trying to help a lot of local business owners who think, gosh, all I need is a website, to help them understand that really websites are dying if they're not already dead in some industries, and really how a funnel works. And so if you start with funnel jargon, people are going to go, I don't even know what a funnel is. What are you talking about? So I love that idea. And I appreciate just kind of hitting home as far as where in that actual funnel are they? Top of the funnel, mid funnel, bottom of the funnel. And it totally changes the experience as well as the conversation that you're having with them. So I appreciate you going through that.
Totally. That's so funny that you say that about the websites, because we talk at Growth Marketing Pro, talk to a lot of people that are just getting started and they have this website and they're like, I have this amazing website. I get no leads to my website. And that is just not how it works. Like, there's so much more intention that goes. And as a marketer, I never send traffic to a website, never, ever. So as a marketer, I'm always sending traffic to landing pages that are specifically, you know, pushing people down a funnel, a very specific funnel. They have a very specific call to action, just one button on a page. And so websites that have menus with lots of different options, it's like you're spending money to get traffic to that page, and then you're losing people because you're giving them a million different places to click and options, and you're not helping them get through the funnel.
I appreciate that. Well, Haley, if it's all right with you, I'd like to kind of segue into one of the things I'm most excited about, and that's this whole marketing data type of stuff that you'd love to geek out on. And I know you've got kind of an offer at the end for those people who want to stick around as far as a kind of exactly how they can track some of this data. So tell me, what are the things that you're paying attention to in a marketing funnel? What are the metrics that you're following? What's most important?
All right. Well, the first thing I want to say is that this stuff is really hard.
Wait, all of my listeners right there, they're gone. They just left.
Well, no, stay, because at least I thought it was really hard. And I understand why you think it is hard, because I used to have a really hard time with it. I was really overwhelmed as I started out as a marketer. I was like, okay, you want me to build a weekly report showing how our marketing campaigns are doing? Simple enough, right? Little do I realize that that actually involves, you know, logging into Facebook and exporting all the data, logging into Google Ads, logging into LinkedIn, logging into my email tool, looking at our like sales revenue, and like pulling all this data together takes hours, because you have to log into these platforms, export all the data, then maybe you import them into a Google spreadsheet or Excel. Then you have another tab where you may be creating a dashboard and you're using formulas and you're trying to map the data all together, and hopefully your formulas are right. And then even at that point, you just have like a big sheet of numbers, and then you're going to have to present these numbers to people who are going to want to make sense of them. So they should probably be in charts, not in numbers. And now it needs to be pretty. And like this whole thing, I swear, like it used to take me 2 to 3 days of my week to prepare for our marketing meeting with our CEO, just to be able to like pull the numbers together, make them pretty enough for other people to understand, but also for me to understand, like not only like putting the data together, but then to do the analytics and figure out the insights and figure out what's not going well and what needs to change. It's just like the whole thing. It's so tedious. It is so time consuming. And I can promise you that there is a marketer at every single company doing this. Like somebody is doing this manually. And I was doing this manually. Until about 6 months ago, I left my job, my last company, and I wanted to work at a marketing company, some kind of marketing tool that was helping marketers, because I love thinking about marketing. I wanted to market to marketers, and this is all very meta. But I heard out about this company called Improvado that was looking for a head of marketing, and it was a tool that basically automated that whole process that I was pretty miserable over. So basically, they just sync into all the different platforms like Facebook and Google Ads and all your CRM and all the things. And then it just like slurps up the data into one place where it just lives in real time all the time. So you can check on like any ad, any campaign across any platform in one place, or you can send it to like your visualization tool. So Google Data Studio or Tableau or Looker, wherever you want to visualize it, you just have this like real time reporting. So you never ever have to like do that crappy stuff that all of us marketers are wasting time manually doing ever again. And so that's what my mission is now, to kind of spread the word that this is an option, because I certainly didn't know it was. And, you know, I, as a marketer, my favorite part is the strategy part. It's the thinking about new things to test and new ideas to try and optimizing what's working. And I don't want to be in spreadsheets all day.
So for a person who's just getting started, what are some of the most important metrics they should be paying attention to?
I think a lot of times I see people making the mistake of looking at the wrong metrics. And so this is definitely an important question. It can be easy as a marketer to get excited about top of the funnel metrics. Here we go talking about funnel again, but kind of like signups, right? So at my last job, I was at a company called Realty Shares, and it was a real estate investing platform online. And so I was getting, we were doing Google ads, and we were running ads to the keyword real estate crowdfunding, which is what it's called when you invest fractionally in real estate online. Not everyone knows what the word real estate crowdfunding is. So the people who type that in have very high intent, right? Those people would convert and they would become paying investors and great customers. And so I wanted to expand from there and try and see if I could get Google Ads to work and funnel more people to business. So I tested out real estate investing as a keyword, which seems like a logical next step, real estate investing. And we tested it, and wow, we were getting tons of signups for really cheap. This was awesome. I'm like, great, let's spend more money here. A couple months later, I realized none of the people that signed up from the keyword real estate investing ever made an investment. And so it's really easy to get excited by like signup metrics, but what actually matters is like actual customers, actual paying customers. If none of those people become paying customers, then that's actually not a good place to be spending money. So to kind of just like hold your excitement until you can watch people go through the funnel, and it's for different companies that's a different length of time, which can be challenging as a marketer to wait like a couple months to see if that thing works before you spend more money on it. But it's really about just like careful testing and being able to see data from sign up all the way through to revenue and being able to tie that back, that revenue back to the channel it came from.
I love that. Again, kind of what you're talking about there. The most important thing I always look at is what's that cost to acquire a customer, a paying customer versus the signups are great. But you can have a whole bunch of people sign up. If no one takes their credit card out, they are of very, very little value to you or to them. So it's, I always look as far as what's that cost to acquire the customer. What's obviously the average cart value. If we can kind of look at that where we get in, at least inside of a funnel where the average cart value, if I can get the average cart value to be equal to the cost to acquire a customer, I'm basically getting my customers for free. And then I send them up the sales ladder from there. So
totally. Yeah. If you can track, you know, the customers that have signed up within a channel and that have gone on to make a purchase and you have that revenue, you can just take that revenue number and divide it by the number of signups that you got. And now you have your like allowable cost per acquisition for a signup. And so if you go above that, you know, you're losing money. And if you go below that, you know, you're making money. So
I'm gonna have you repeat that formula one more time, just for those people who are listening so they understand it. Cause I think it's a real important number to track.
Yeah, so I call it the allowable CAC, the allowable cost per acquisition. For a sign up, for someone that signed up. So within a given channel, if you keep track of, say, for example, you're tracking, looking at Facebook as a channel, you know that you got X number of signups on Facebook, and then you got Y number of customers that actually paid, and then you have a certain number of revenue. So if you take that revenue number, how much you made from people that you acquired on Facebook, and then you divide it by the number of signups that you got at the very start, then you have this number that I like to call the allowable CAC. And that's kind of like your break-even cost per acquisition for Facebook for this specific channel. So that can vary from channel to channel. You might have a different allowable cost per acquisition on Facebook than you have on Google Ads. And this is really, really important when you're optimizing per channel to realize that that's different. So on Facebook, you'll have this number, and this is your allowable cost per acquisition, and you want to stay below it because as soon as you start going, if you're at it, you're a break even. That means like the amount that you're kind of spending and getting on Facebook is the same. And if you're over it, then you're losing money on Facebook. And if you're under it, then you're awesome.
So just running some numbers here. If I have 100 people sign up and let's say 10 of those buy and it's a $200 product, so it's a $2,000 total. So I've got basically $2,000 I made and divide that by 100. In other words, it means I could basically spend up to $20 for a sign up.
Right.
Does that sound right? And so I think that's it's important for people who are listening to understand. We talk so much about what's my cost to acquire the customer. Well, that cost to acquire the customer could be, you know, $200 because that's what they're paying me. But if it actually, my cost for that sign up is a tenth of that. I think that's an important number to kind of track and pay attention to. So I appreciate you kind of going through there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Haley, I know we're kind of getting close to wrapping things up here. Where can people get more information on tracking this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I actually made a blank template just for you guys who are listening. If you want to look at what my marketing dashboard looks like before I automated it. So this is kind of when I go into Google Sheets and I make all these different tabs so that I can see what's happening from a marketing perspective on weekly, daily, monthly, yearly, like how I figure out my goals. I have all these different tabs in a Google Sheet, and I kind of took out all the data and made it blank for you in case you want to use it yourself. That's what when I do my marketing data manually, like that's what it looks like. If you want to automate it, Improvato can help you there. But if you just want this Google spreadsheet, definitely take a look and download it for yourself. You can access it at improvato.io/podcast.
Great. Do you want to spell Improvato for us?
Yes. improvado.io/podcast. It's so funny. I'm a terrible time spelling aloud. I actually have to write that with my finger on the table so that I can spell.
You did a great job spelling for us, so I appreciate
that. Thank you.
Well, Haley, any last remarks here before we kind of wrap things up?
Let's see. Follow or connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to chat there. That's probably the best place. My name is Haley Friedman, so you can find me on there.
Awesome. Well, Haley, thanks so much. I appreciate your time and appreciate all that you guys are doing to push marketing forward. So thank you.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you don't mind, could you please share this with others? Rate and review this podcast on iTunes. It means the world to me. Where I'm trying to get to is 1 million downloads here in the next few months. And we've just crushed through over 650,000. And I just want to get that next few 100,000 so we can get to 1 million downloads and see really what I can do to help improve and get this out to more people. At the same time, if there's a topic, if there's something you'd like me to share or someone you'd like me to interview, by all means, just reach out to me on Facebook. You can PM me, and I'm more than happy to take any of your feedback, as well as if there's people you'd like me to interview, I'm more than happy to reach out and have that conversation with you. So again, go to iTunes, rate and review this, share this podcast with others, and let me know how else I can improve this or what I can do to make this better for you guys. Thanks.